Some of you might be aware that every second Thursday night in the parish hall behind us here, I run adult education classes to help also instruct candidates who are wanting to become Catholics, what we call RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. So it's primarily to help people understand the faith and to immerse themselves a little deeper in not just the teachings of the Church, but the way the Church applies itself in the modern world. And while sometimes I don't really seem to have the energy to get in there and get involved with an hour and a half's discussion, I always leave, I can't say so much lighter, but I always leave a little bit wiser, because everybody contributes to the conversation and they all see things just a little bit differently. And we begin our discussion always by reading the gospel that we're going to use on the following Sunday. So this gospel about Zacchaeus today was what we opened our discussion with last Thursday evening. And as I said, people see the scriptures all from their different angles, and that's a real sign of life. One size doesn't fit all, and that's good for us to know, because sometimes you might be sitting there saying, I don't get it. I just don't get it, or that can't be true. And that's, I think that's a normal thing when sometimes things are beyond us. But one of the ladies on Thursday night, she said, okay, we acknowledge that Zacchaeus in the gospel, he was a little man, knew that Jesus was coming this way, and so he climbed the sycamore tree. And then we had a colourful discussion about sycamore trees and other vegetation, because we always get distracted. But then she said, and this has been sticking with me, then she said, if he climbed the tree to see Jesus who was coming that way, how come Jesus knew his name? Because he said, Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down, hurry down, not just come down, but hurry down, because I must stay at your place tonight. And that really stuck with me after our meeting on Thursday night. But I was able to respond initially to her inquiry by saying that, well, Luke's gospel was written 60 years after the event. So that event people will have talked about, and then they will have passed it on in the Christian community until the stage that it got written down by Luke. That's what would have happened. So they knew that, oh, that character that was up the tree and that Jesus stayed with and caused a stir, his name was Zacchaeus. Then my curious mind goes into, okay, Zacchaeus. What does the word Zacchaeus mean? Every name has a meaning, or mostly. But biblical names all have a meaning. So there I go, and I scratch around to find out what Zacchaeus means. And Zacchaeus means, from the Hebrew, clean, pure, and innocent. This guy is a tax collector, so he is despised by his local community because he takes money from them and gives it to the Romans and lines his own pocket in the meantime. But he's a wealthy man, is Zacchaeus. So he doesn't actually do that. He would have agents do that for him, and then he would take a commission. So the people kind of get robbed twice, if you like. So he wasn't the one getting his hands dirty as such. He had boys to do that for him. But the point behind Zacchaeus and his name is that for 2,000 years, this poor chap has been given a pretty rough trot through the scriptures in our understanding. Most preachers would say to some sense that poor old Zacchaeus, he was despised, he wasn't a pleasant fellow, had a lot of money and did the wrong thing. And then he had a change of heart. And this is a story about a change of heart, or what we use in biblical language, conversion. Well, it is. There's no doubt about that. Otherwise, Luke wouldn't have put it in here. So it is about a man who changes. He goes through a conversion. But let's go back. What if Zacchaeus had met Jesus previously? We're told in scriptures that he was anxious to see what kind of man Jesus was. Doesn't say to us wanted to see how tall Jesus was. He wanted to know what kind of man Jesus was. That's to do with relationship. That's to do with a connection. You don't get what kind of person a person is simply by looking at them walk by. So what if Zacchaeus had met Jesus earlier and he had become curious? And that would explain, and I didn't think of this the other night, but that would explain also that Jesus knew who this fellow was. And it would be easy, unlike myself, who find it terribly difficult to remember names, it's pretty easy to remember somebody that makes a negative impact on you. We remember a lot of people for all the wrong reasons, the things that don't go well with them. And people often say to me, for example, I had a wedding here, a beautiful wedding here this afternoon, and somebody will come up to me in after 20, 20, 30 years, even longer nowadays, and say, oh, do you remember doing my wedding? Maybe. I would only remember a wedding normally if there was something disastrous about it or something bizarre happened. And there's been a few of those. But quite often we remember individuals and we remember their name because of something that has happened. And I'm throwing Zacchaeus into this lot. I don't think that Zacchaeus was a bad man. That would be contrary to a lot of scholars' thought, I think. Not all, but I actually think that Zacchaeus was a troubled man. We're told that the first part here, he says, he stood his ground. Now, he was a little guy, because otherwise he wouldn't be up the tree, and we're told that he's short. But when the people criticised Jesus for staying with or going to Zacchaeus, he stood his ground. He didn't go into his house and close the door and say, well, Jesus, this is what I'm going to do. He stopped in the crowd. So he had fortitude. He had courage and he had stamina and he wasn't going to back down. And he didn't say to them, he didn't get angry with them or anything like this and react as many of us would when we're criticised. No, he said to those who were complaining, look, sir, I am going to give half my property to the poor. If I go back and I look at the Greek translation, and I know you think I'm getting all technical, I'm not, but the original translation doesn't say I am going to give half my property to the poor. It says I give my property to the poor. So this man who is wealthy pays his tithes, that the 10%, as it were. He is in the custom of what the Leviticus law says about paying your tithe. He gives to the poor. He already does that. And then he says, if I have cheated anybody, he doesn't say I've been cheating. The crowd assumed that he did because he's a tax collector and they had a grubby reputation, the tax collectors. He says, if I have cheated. So he's examining himself quickly on his feet by saying, okay, in my life, if I've done the wrong thing by anybody, then this is what I'm going to do. I'm not saying that I have done, but if that's what's happened, I'm going to correct that. That's a pretty deep examination of one's conscience. He then says, I'm going to pay them back four times the amount. Now, in the Leviticus law, so this was a Jew, because we're told he's the son of Abraham. In the Leviticus law, the law is if you steal something off someone, you pay that back plus 20% more, one-fifth more, it actually says, which is 20%. So you pay back more. But in the Roman law, and this is under a Roman jurisdiction, for the same crime, if you are a criminal and you are convicted, you must pay back four times the amount of what you stole. So you've got to be caught and convicted, and you pay back four times. This man is going over and above, he's going 20% above what the Leviticus, the Jewish law, asks him to do. He's giving more back, and he's at least meeting the Roman law. This isn't some nasty person who spends his time plotting to rob from the poor. This is a man, Zacchaeus, I suspect, who has become a victim of his own life situation. I think that might be closer to who this fellow is. And he would have seen in Jesus an opportunity to perhaps clear up his name, to get out of this situation in which he found himself in. We don't know what happens to Zacchaeus, but the name is instrumental. Clean, pure, innocent. Now that name would not have been used if it wasn't relative to the story. So we need to dig around and find, why would Luke want to use this character in this circumstance? And why would he put it in here for this audience, his Jewish, primarily non-Jewish audience, not exclusively, but primarily. So we sit here tonight and we think, what is it about this story that touches my life or my life situation here and now? What is it? Now, I don't know whether anybody here works for the tax office. I wouldn't have a clue. I do know some people here that have their own business who might be asking themselves, do I run my business fairly? Am I just? There might be people here tonight who are saying in their life, I try to be a giver, but I actually find that I'm more of a taker. And that may well be to do with finances. It may well be to do with how we treat people. And sadly, the world has a lot of takers in it, and we need more givers. And Zacchaeus represents that for us. We, I suppose, are now put in a position where if we could clear our name, as it were, and rediscover that which is pure in us, that which is innocent in us, the goodness that exists within us that many of us have buried under our life situation, what's going on around us. It may be our domestic situation, it may be our work situation, it may be the fact that we simply do nothing, our nothing situation. I don't want to get involved in anything or with anybody. Leave me alone. I come to Mass on Saturday night and I'm here at 6:02, not 10 past, so I'm doing the right thing. Well, I'd be saying, are we really? We have to challenge ourselves beyond what we are comfortable with. And it doesn't matter whether we're short or tall, whether we grow sycamores or grevilleas, whatever tree floats your boat, as they say. Get uncomfortable with your faith. You can do that, and I can do that because I'm surrounded by people who are squirming in the seats of life the same way that I am. We all experience discomfort, but is it a discomfort that leads us to come out the other end better? Does it lead us to come out with that purity, with that innocence, with that cleanliness again? Or do we choose to stay a bit grubby because that's easier to do? If we're comfortable in our grubbiness, that's not a very happy place to be. I can say to you that you can live your life like that, but is that the best life that you can live? Well, Jesus says to us that you too are sons and daughters of Abraham, and he has come to save that which is lost. Please, please, in your purity, your cleanliness, and your innocence, never consider yourself lost.